Okay, let's read this together. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm sure all of us would know by now that this is the Lord's Prayer. And you may recall that 6 weeks ago, I shared a devotion on this very same passage. And you may recall from that devotion that this prayer is not meant to be used as a formula prayer, but rather as a pattern for our praying, a guide that displays all the elements that we should include in prayer, such as worship, reverence, obedience, penitence, unselfishness, and humility. So in this pattern, we observe that God is always placed first before men in order of priority, and that we ought to be seeking after the giver rather than the gifts. We also saw that the Lord's Prayer is comprehensive in its scope. It encompasses the past, the present, and the future. And it deals with three aspects of life: physical needs, emotional needs, as well as spiritual needs. And then we went on to define the different relationships that are brought out in this particular prayer. And we focus on the term Father, which implies a sense of intimate closeness that we can have with God in a father and child relationship. And despite the fact that God is in heaven, right, he's so high up in heaven, high above us, and that he's the supreme authority over all, he still stoops down or condescends to listen to our little cries, to our little prayers. He welcomes us to come into his presence at any time. But lest this should make us lead us to make God too familiar to us, he also wants us to know that he's not only our Father, but that he is also our holy and sovereign Lord. And so we have this relationship of worshipper and deity highlighted here. And this is what we'll see now as we come to the very first petition of this prayer: Hallowed be thy name. Now this petition, Hallowed be thy name, reminds us that though we can call God our Father, we should not be thinking then of him as our daddy, right? While we have the privilege of direct access to him, while we are able to enjoy having an intimate relationship with God, we should be careful not to trivialize this intimacy with God by likening him to human dads who can be easily cajoled and persuaded by their little children to give whatever they want. Now, if we do this, then we are not giving God the proper honor and respect that he deserves from us. So let us always remember that when we approach God, it needs to be marked by a sense of reverence, reverence that prompts us to pray, Hallowed be thy name. Now, the basic petition here is to let God's reputation or let God's name be upheld above all things. The word hallowed here means to make holy or to regard something as holy. But we should not then interpret it to mean that God's holiness is to be increased or can be added onto. None of us can ever make God more holy than he already is through our praying. God's holiness has always remained the same from eternity past, and it'll still remain the same into eternity future. So this petition is for God's name to be regarded with reverence and fear. It must not be treated as something that is common or as not being divine. The petition is therefore closely related to the third commandment: Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But then comes the question: what exactly is God's name that we should hallow and not take in vain? Well, in scripture, God actually has many names. He is called the Almighty. He is called the Most High God. He is called the Holy One of Israel. And the most used name is the name Jehovah, which is translated in our Bibles as Lord. And that's because, you know, the Jews wanted to preserve the sanctity of this name. They did not even want it to be pronounced when they read it. And so they put the word Lord, Adonai, right? They pronounce Adonai in place of pronouncing God's name so that they will not violate the third commandment. Now, there are some today who claim that we all should use the name Yahweh instead of Lord in referring to God. But the truth of the matter is that Yahweh is only what modern scholars believe to be the correct way that God's name was originally pronounced. And it actually may not be accurate after all, right? The fact is that no one knows exactly how God's name was originally pronounced. And so my advice is don't get caught up in endless debates on this particular matter. And there's actually a very good reason why we can refer to God as the Lord. The reason is that the New Testament consistently uses the Greek word for Lord, kurios, as God's name, even when it's quoting verses from the Old Testament where the name of God appears. And so we're not wrong in referring to God as the Lord because we're following exactly what the New Testament writers did. What we need to understand is that God's name is more than just a proper noun, more than just a title, more than just a sound or a word that is pronounced in a certain way. It represents all that he is, his person and his character. In John chapter 17, verse 6, Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. This was in the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? In which he said, I've manifested God's name unto the men. And the men there were referred to the disciples of Christ, the ones that the Lord had given him. And we know from what Jesus had said earlier on in John chapter 14, verse 9, that what he had showed to the disciples was actually not just a name or just merely titles of God, but the whole person of the Father, right? He that have seen me have seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? So to hallow God's name is therefore to honor and to worship God according to all that he is as revealed in the scriptures. You know, when Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory, the Lord came down in a cloud, and then the Lord proclaimed his name to Moses in its fullest measure. And this is what he did, what he said. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Now, Moses was so moved by this awesome majesty of God and the declaration of God's name and what it stands for that he quickly bowed down in reverential fear and worship. That revelation of the glory of the name of God moved Moses to then hallow it. As we had seen that hallowing means to set apart something as sacred. And for the same reason that God's name moved Moses to hallow it when it was revealed to him, God's name should also move us to hallow it, worshiping God in deep reverence for all that his name stands for. But have we really understood what the name of God stands for? Do we see the connection that it has with his greatness, with his honor, with his power, and with his majesty? If we do, then we would never want to take his name in vain. We would want to hold God's name in reverence, all because it is God's name. And this means that to be sincere in making the petition, hallowed be thy name, we should be living in a manner that is worthy of God's name. Let us always remember this. As God's children, we bear the name of God on us. And we must therefore be living up to that name that we bear. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And this means that we cannot be praying the Lord's Prayer sincerely if we are at the same time deliberately living in a manner that is unworthy of God's name. How can we sincerely pray, "Hallowed be thy name," when at the same time the way we live is effectively proclaiming, "Blasphemed be thy name"? And this is what James said to some believers who are sinning in the church. Right? He says, "Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called." Right? So here you see very clearly the name by which ye are called. Right? And by the way they lived, they were causing others to blaspheme God's name. And what worthy name is this? If it's a name that can be blasphemed, then clearly it has to be the name of God himself. Now, the same thing was also true of the Jews. Because of their special relationship with him, they were called by the name of God. But in general, they lived dishonorably before all the nations around them. And therefore, Paul addressed the Jews in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, saying, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the nations or among the Gentiles through you." Now let us look at what the Westminster Larger Catechism has to say about this in question 190. What do we pray for in the first petition? Right, the first petition there refers to the first petition in the Lord's Prayer. Right, so the answer is, in the first petition, acknowledging the utter inability and indisposition that is in ourselves and all men to honor God aright, we pray that God would, by his grace, enable and incline us and others to know, to acknowledge, and highly to esteem him, his titles, his attributes, his ordinances, his word, his works, and whatsoever he is pleased to make himself known by, and to glorify him in thought, word, and deed. So basically, we want to pay attention to this last part here. And that is that the whole purpose of this first petition, "Hallowed be thy name," is to glorify God. If it is truly our prayer that God's name should be hallowed, then we should show it by living lives that glorify him. So let us ask ourselves questions like these tonight. Do our thoughts and our words and our deeds glorify God? Is God pleased with the way that we represent him to the world? What can we do then to hallow the name of God? So may God himself show us how we can hallow his name at all times, even as we pray this petition, "Hallowed be his name." Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, how wonderful it is that we can call thee by thy name, that we can know thee because thou hast revealed thyself to us in thy word. That thou hast also revealed thyself to us through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word. And so, Lord, we pray that having known thy name, we may then seek to hallow it. Let this, O Lord, be our heart's desire, our first petition, whenever we come to approach thee in prayer, that we may seek always to glorify thy name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.